And Father, we commend this conference as we start. To the voice of your Spirit, to the sound of your Spirit, to the likeness of your Spirit. That you will prune us, purify us, strengthen and straighten us. That will be that vessel that you intend that we be. From today through to Friday, there will be no moment for the flesh. All the moments will be moments of the Spirit. Amen. Have your seats. Praise the Lord. There is a mountain of prayer. There's prayer. The man prays in his room. And a man prays in his bedroom. But there is a mountain of prayer. And I want us to look at something briefly as we engage ourselves. The first thing I want us to look at, what does God do without prayer? What does he do? What does God do in the earth without prayer? What does he do? Have you tried to imagine what God does in the earth without prayer? That's a very good thing to start with. There's no better way to look at it than to look at when he came to the earth. What I mean, he came to the earth when he came as a man. John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Say the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. He says in him was life, and the life was a light of man. The life of man. The light shineth in the darkness. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't comprehend it. So he brings the fact of God as life and light. God, the Word. He later says in verse 14, the Word, that's God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What we call the incarnation. What we call God in human form. Called the only begotten Son, or only begotten of God, only begotten of the Father. John 1:14, John 1:16. John 1:18, John 3:36, John 3:16. But we need to now see that you can call what he did in the four Gospels in his descent to humanity arguably the commencement of the greatest thing he ever did. Almost looking unannounced. Or like the creation of the world and other things that happened. This one was a question of God now becoming a man to fulfill what you can call all the hitherto said prophecies. You now wonder, okay, fine. Because he is God, all he just needed to do was to decide. And so he decides, then he shows up. And then he does all he will do. He's God. He became a man, then he superimposes his will upon humanity. As he does that, what happens? He goes through the motions of just displaying his power. Then he goes to the cross. He dies. He's raised from the dead. He sits around the Father as we see from the epistles. And that was it. But we can lose out and miss out on some crucial details. Remember what I started by saying was, what does God do in the earth without prayer? I know we're in an age and season where it is easy to despise prayer. Why? Because hitherto were people, many people, not most, many, I use many because there are many. What many have used prayer for was to get something. To get something. To get a car, to get a phone, to get 10,000 naira, $10,000, to get a house. So as time went on, and it appeared like they were getting those things just by proper planning, strategic thinking, networking, such men, rather than admit they had been wrongly taught about prayer, now started speaking low about prayer. Ignorance can be such a deluge. You will think you know what you never knew. So watch this. This is God's greatest act in humanity, not the creation of the world. His descent to humanity, his arrival in amongst men, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The first thing we will notice is that before his coming was a prophecy by Isaiah 43 that there will be one sent before his face, a messenger, that's John the Baptist, who will be before him. Isaiah said, Malachi said the same thing. And then notice events around all that God did as a man. The first thing you will notice is Luke 1:10, where Zechariah, the father of John, was in the temple. Somebody say, in the temple. Notice where he was. A place under the law given to worship and prayers. And Luke 1:10 says, what was going on there? It says, the people were praying without at the time of incense. It appears it was a period of prayer. And what happened? An angel came. And the angel came at that atmosphere. And then revealed what had been prophesied before now about John. It may not come in too quickly to us. Okay, but that's just praying in the temple. Look at the next place, Luke chapter 2. This was after the prophecy of Jesus and after he had been born. Luke chapter 2 now brings in another detail. We find a man by the name of Simeon, who, verse 25, had been waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child to do for him, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him in his arms and blessed God, and said, Lord, now, let thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. Again, you find a man waiting, having known God's will. Look at the second personality. Interestingly, a woman. Verse 36, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived seven years from her virginity. She was a widow about 84 years. That's 84 years without a husband. Now, let's read the B part together of verse 37. Let's go. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer, night and day. Verse 38. And she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. Let's sit together. And spake of him to all them that looked. So we found another woman who was serving the Lord in prayers till the coming of the Christ. Two events we have seen. Three altogether. Zechariah. Then we found Simeon. But clearly this woman. Now, not going too far. God became flesh. Jesus was now about to begin ministry. And then in Luke chapter 3, verse 31, is about to be pointed out to Israel. Is about to be pointed out as a witness of all that the prophets have spoken before now. What was he doing? Was he studying the scriptures? No. What was he doing? And when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. A remarkable thing was about to happen. And this is God as a man. And what is he doing? He's praying. He's not praying for the economy of Israel. No. He's not praying for a change of government. He's not praying for the commercial situation of the town to be changed overnight. He's praying. Have you observed so far? Nobody has supplied a prayer point. Nobody. Praying is praying in itself. It's praying. The scripture says the heaven was open. Another notable event was when he was about to choose his apostles. If you don't know the importance of this, then there's a lot you have to know. His apostles, those who are responsible for what we believe today. What does he do? Again, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. Can we finish it together? And continued how? How? All night. That is the minimum of 6 hours. Sorry, 12 hours. 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Let me ask you a question. Was he ignorant of God's will? No. He prayed. Are you even told what he was praying about? No. But so far, we have seen that around the prayers were notable events. Something was about to happen. In the mind and heart of God, when God wants to do something in the earth, he gets men praying. When God wants to do something in the earth, anything at all, he gets men praying. And this is exactly what happened. Because John the Baptist, hear me, was important to the validation of the ministry of Christ. You don't handle such things without prayer. Watch this. He prayed. If you also observe much more, when he was close to the cross, the popular story in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26. Close to the cross, what you can call the reason why he came, he set forth again praying. That's why men like John Wesley said it appears that God cannot do anything in the earth except we pray. Men cannot do anything with God except we pray. Many things can be carried out without God, and you know that already. Look at something as basic. Is a man procreating in the sense of having another child? It has happened by rape. It has happened by incest. And yet the child comes. Interesting. So an unbeliever who does not even believe there is God can partake in that. Whatever it is, an unbeliever can do it. He can even mock prayer, laugh and joke at prayer, and have a child the next day. He can mock prayer. He can say, "What is it, nonsense?" and have a contract of $50 billion the next day. He can mock prayer, mock the church, mock the gospel, and get a gift of $10 million the next day. He can joke at World Changers Conference and laugh and mock at it and become the next governor of his state. So never apportion human achievements to the hand of God. Never. Never apportion human exploits to the hand of God. One of the things that will happen in this conference, and I heard the Lord say to me, many of you during the year who are here tonight have submitted your heart to materialism. In this conference, it will die. You have submitted your heart to suffering. It will die. Because you will see God clearly. Hear this. Notable thing, he's going to the cross to die. Something that to humanity, it doesn't make sense. What does he do? He's not just praying. Luke says he prayed and blood gushed out from his body. Look at the one we saw. He went to a mountain. See, there is prayer of devotion. When you do morning devotion and you stay on your bed or you stay near your bed and you say, "Father, in the name of Jesus." But when prayer is prayer, you will leave your house. You will leave your house. See, Jesus left his abode and look at it consistently. He will go to a quiet area. He will go to Shagam. He will go to Iferu. He will go somewhere. That act of going in itself is one of the things prayer does. It separates you. The act of leaving your pleasure, leaving your comfort, leaving your home in itself is what this prayer does. The fact that I got up from my bed, I left my house, I left my sitting room, I now went outside. Or I went to a quiet area in my estate. Or I went somewhere on my campus, far from my hostel, in itself is what prayer does. You need to see it. In itself is what prayer does. You may not have a mountain to go to. You may not have a desert to go to. But you have a separation you should make in prayer. That takes you away from your pleasures. From praying in tongues at the same time checking your phone. Praying in tongues at the same time checking your Facebook. Praying in tongues at the same time you are reading something. Praying in tongues at the same time you are answering calls. You are yet to pray. When you want to pray, you would abandon everything and you will be alone in that prayer room with the Almighty God. No phone between you. No demands between both of you. And then you will see clearly. Hear me. There will be no third party between you and Jehovah after this meeting. Did you hear what I just said? You and the Spirit of God. You will hear clearly. You will not hear through a phone operator. You will hear directly as you pray. What can God do without prayer? Nothing. What can I do with God without prayer? Nothing. The single here to the cross, he's praying. On the cross, he's praying. That's why when he rose from the dead, see, He needed to tell the disciples, guys, you know what? He told them in Luke 24:49. He said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. I send the promise of my Father upon you. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power. After when the Holy Ghost come upon you, shall witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, under the uttermost part of the earth. He says that to them. Do you know he doesn't mention and you will pray? That's what he says. He just told them critical events in humanity. He told them, you will go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let me ask you a question. Is there anything more important in the heart of God than those things? I ask a question. Just like we said, human exploits oftentimes are possible without God. In the earth today, human exploits, very possible without God. Hear this. He didn't tell them to pray. Go and check the Great Commission, whether it's Mark 16:15-20, or you check Matthew 28:18-20, or you check Luke 24:47-49. You will see pray there. Or you check John 20:21. You will see, so therefore you will pray. When he told them in Matthew 9:37, he said, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest to send for laborers. Like I taught you, many of those things were things to be done later. They did not even pray. All they did at that point was, when they said, pray the Lord of the harvest that they be sent for laborers. They were sent for there, means like to push out. In this conference, you'll be pushed out by prayer. I said, you'll be pushed out by prayer. Let me hear your voice. I said, you'll be pushed out by prayer. Pray ye, look, to push out laborers. That's what he told him about prayer. Watch. As he left, he gave them instructions, the Great Commission, for Acts 1:14. They now came together. They knew what to do. That God will do nothing till you pray. They knew. They were not asking God to send the Spirit. No. Neither were they asking God to save men. No. Prayer is how God's will comes to pass in the earth. The more you pray, the more the will of God comes to pass. The lesser you pray. See, if you know prayer is acting on God's will and bringing it to pass, dozing will be impossible. It will be difficult. If you knew that every moment of prayer is a moment of bringing God's will to pass in the earth, you will find it difficult to sleep with ease. Because you know it's not a mere physical exercise that when I am praying, God is doing something in the earth. What can God do without prayer? Nothing. In the earth, nothing. We often say, Jesus came to the world. We didn't ask him. We didn't do anything. He just came. True and not true. Jesus in the earth. We just saw it. Men were praying. When he came, he was praying. Before he died, he was praying. Why was he praying if it was needless? It meant it was needful for him to pray. Without his prayer life, you and I will not be saved today. Now put that to yourself. Without my prayer life, what will God do through me? Nothing. Hear this. As soon as he gave them that instruction, they knew what to do. Acts 1:14. And this all, look at it, please open your Bible, continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren.
They automatically knew what to do. That when God says to you, Kule, John, Musa, this is what I want to do. The next thing you will do is pray. You know, it is strange. I thought when God says it, I go and relax. Right? I just be confessing the word. No. As soon as he says it, the next thing is what? You pray. Because if you don't, nothing will happen. As soon as he says it, the next thing, that is every plan of God is a burden of prayer. Every purpose of God in the earth is a burden of prayer. Every notification of God's will in the earth is a prayer point. That's why prayer point is just the beginning. It leads to numerous possibilities. In this conference, we are going to experience supernatural bliss of prayer. That bliss will equate tiredness in the flesh. That bliss will take away weariness. That bliss will remove wrong ambitions. That bliss will cause you to be steadfast. That bliss will cause you to be sharpened. In that bliss, sometimes you will feel weak. Jesus had weakness. He had blood burst out from his body. And that was the bliss. That was it. They continued. So if you don't know what they were doing on the day of Pentecost, you now see it. On the day of Pentecost, you were not calling for Holy Ghost. Glory! 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 No! They were praying. I said they were praying. What do I mean? One accord. Acts 1:14. Acts 2:1 and 2. They were all in one accord. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly. What? In the apostles' doctrine and prayers. That means there had been prayer before they got born again. As they got born again, it was the culture of the church. You won't see anything happen in the book of Acts without men praying. It can't happen. God can do nothing except I pray. Can I do things without prayer? Yes. Can God do anything without prayer? No. Can I do things out of the will of God? Outside the will of God? Yes. Yes. But to do God's will, a man must bow his knees to prayer. Acts 3:1. Peter and John went up to the temple to pray in the hour of prayer. Now, if you know that they were in the temple in Acts 2:1, and you can see in Acts 3:1 they were going to the temple, it was the hour of prayer. Our prayer, 6, 9, 12, 3. They picked notable times in the day. See, they were not praying for things. Because if they were praying for things, as soon as people joined them, they were giving them things. Wasn't things. I say it often. If the church was born in the desert, when there was no food, and Jesus said that, well, what can we feed these people? I said, we all have a boy's 5 loaves and 2 fish. If the church was born, Jesus would not need to do a single miracle to multiply fish. He would just ask people to give. That is why the multiplication of fish and loaves, you will see the semblance of that miracle again. When needs arose, men gave. Why? Because the Spirit of God was in their heart. And that is the spirit of grace and generosity. Who's following what I'm saying tonight? Hear this. They continue steadfastly in prayers. Acts 3:1. They went to pray in the hour of prayer. Acts 4. As soon as they were threatened, they raised their voice, Acts 4:24, in one accord and prayed. They prayed. Because that was the threatening of human people. They didn't say, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to write a Facebook post. It's not right to persecute the church. It's not, some of us have just learned the wrong things. Communicate. You attack back on the media. Who taught you that? You attack back. You get your PR machine. Particularly these days, when people have learned more to take photographs than to pray. A new church. You are posting pictures. A new church. Who should see your pictures? Satan. A new church. You have started badly. I tell young ministers, when you want to start a ministry, use 18 months of consistent prayer and fasting. I learned that from Bishop Oyedepo. 18. Don't say, don't let's be rigid. I know that's what you will say. All the social media nonsense. Don't let's be rigid. Let's be flexible. That is being religious. When people talk like that, they are not praying again. Anybody who prays, never cause prayer excessive. Can prayer ever be excessive? I'm asking you. Anywhere you see people talk about prayer being excessive, walk away from them. What did I say? The constancy of prayer is always. Do you hear me? Anybody who talks low on prayer, say, it's not about prayer. Who told you to pray for 18 months? 18 months is even small. He said, always. Me, I say 18 months. Pray. Can people gather without God in a place? They can. We can gather this number of people times 10 without the Spirit of God. Are you aware? So don't think because we are like this, because God. No. We are not sure. It's what we are doing that will let us know whether it is God or not. So when you see cry, like this, you miss your salvation. It has to be God. When you now get to stadiums, you say, see the Spirit of God at Emirates Stadium. No! But when you want to do what God does, you bend your knees. This is not a work of strategy. It's not a work of philosophy. It's a work of fire. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Someone say, there's nothing called Holy Ghost fire. It's nonsense. There is Holy Ghost fire. There's Holy Ghost fire. It will consume the flesh. It's Holy Ghost fire. It will set you on the plane of zeal. Holy Ghost fire. It is only found in the place of prayer. This conference is for Holy Ghost fire. No strategy. No, how do we plan it? No! All your plans will be caught in the place of prayer. I'm telling you, you will get plans that comes directly from God's Spirit by the Holy Ghost fire. That's what they prayed. Acts 6. Where they say, there's trouble in the church. What do we do? How do we? They say, we will not leave the word of God and serve things. But we will give ourselves, Acts 6, for continually forced to prayer and the ministry of the word, because they know without prayer, God can do nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Without prayer. When God wants to do something in the earth, He sets men to pray. And when they pray, just like Jesus in Luke 3:21, the Holy Ghost said, there will be sounds of the Spirit. Prayer is primarily for God's will, not for my will. The Holy Ghost said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Prayer produces sounds. Prayer produces sights. I saw the Holy Ghost descend on him like as of a dove. Zacharias saw an angel. Simeon knew that was the Christ. Anna, daughter of Phanuel, knew that was the Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus knew his apostles. Garden of Gethsemane. You see that? The sight, the sound. There's also obedience. Obedience. Prayer produces obedience. The first person prayer changes is you. Never forget that. Exchanging our will for your own. Sights, sounds, day of Pentecost. And there, suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like a mighty rushing wind, filled all the house where they were seated. Acts 2:2. And there appeared unto them, Acts 2:3, cloven tongues like as of fire. Acts 2:42. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, prayer, breaking of bread and fellowship. Verse 43. Signs and wonders were now done, wrought by the hands of the apostles. Sight, sound, and mighty deeds. What can God do without prayer? Nothing. Grant unto the servant all boldness. We may speak your word, and that signs and wonders might be drawn through the name of the holy child Jesus. So I say, all I need to do to move the power of God, or to do the things of God, is just know who I am in Christ. Stop joking. The believer's authority is exercised by prayer. Prayer! Yeah. Sights, sounds, mighty works. And the book of Acts is filled with those things. I'll repeat what I said earlier. When God wants to do anything in the earth, He gets men to pray. How many of you perceive God has things to do this year, 2019? So what would He get us to do? To pray. Is it, bless this food, O Lord, for Christ's sake? Oh, after 10 minutes. And the Lord is saying, oh, the Lord is saying nothing yet. When you eat 24 hours, you start talking. 26 hours. Then the Lord will speak. Not the, hallelujah. Oh, I see. As it were. It will be a figure of speech. It's as it were. But when you hit the point, when you hit the point, you will now give proper tongues and interpretation. Not the pre-recorded ones. And I see. There's something called power of the Holy Ghost. You have to know it though. You have to know it. Not pre-recorded one. And then, as you step on new territories, it's something you heard. But, when you dig deep, there's nobody God has used that was not a man of prayer. Not a single person. Not a man of prayer. I didn't say there is no ministry that is reigning without prayer. I didn't say that. You can reign without prayer. I'm saying the one God has used, they are men of prayer. Sometimes he wants to do something in 2025. You will start praying 2015. I'm telling you, 2015 for 2025. What can God do without prayer? Nothing. Obedience. The flesh and his plans will drop off. Look at a few things. Did you also notice that when Paul, Saul of Tarsus, when he left the road to Damascus, you know, Jesus didn't tell him to pray. But what did Jesus tell Ananias you'll find him doing? You see a man praying. When God speaks to you, the next thing is to pray. He was praying. Similarly to Cornelius, what was he doing before the angel appeared to him? He was praying. What was Peter doing before he saw the vision to go to Cornelius' house? Acts 10. He was also praying. There's nothing you will see God do, and men were not praying. Acts 13. Paul is about to go to the Gentiles, into Barnabas. What they were meeting and fasting, and the Holy Ghost said, verse 2, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I've called them. And when they had prayed, nothing. Prayer! Next year is a year for much more. How do you set yourself in line for a year of much more? You will pray well. It's not confession. It's not Facebook post. It's not designing flyer. It is prayer. Paul will say, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have a free course and be glorified. How can you say pray for God's word to be glorified? I thought it's God's word. If it's God's word, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just get the word of God in your spirit. Now pray. Just meditate upon it. Begin to speak it to yourself. Get off your bed. Go out right there under the moon and raise your voice. Then God is about to do something. Pray for us. Paul so much asks for prayer for his ministry that without it, the word of God will not bless anybody. Why? God will do nothing except we pray. Brothers and sisters, this conference is your conference. This conference is your conference. And a major emphasis today is we are going to pray for things around us. For yourself, for your ministry, for we are even going to pray concerning our career, our pursuits. You know why? Because some of those things, if we don't align them well, they will align us elsewhere. Some of us have jobs we should not be at. Some of us are traveling to places we should never go to. But in this conference, there will be a full stop to those things. Some of us are signed things that we should never have even seen the paper at all. But that's why you came. I said, that's why you came. Some of us have friends that we should not even have their numbers. But that's why you came. That's why you came. When God is about to do anything, He gets men praying. God is about to do things in your ministry, in your fellowship, in your nation, in your city. So what do we do?
Pray.
What do we do?
Pray.
How do we pray? We pray much more. You get to points, you get tired. But you remember, God will do nothing if I don't pray. There will be some points. You will feel weak. You feel like you want to sleep. But you will remember again, God will do nothing except I pray. You get to some point. It's like you are repeating what you are saying. But you say, God will do nothing except I pray. You get to some point. You think, this is just 12 hours, 10 hours, 20 hours. But God will do nothing except I pray. I can quote all the Greek and Hebrew. I quote Latin. And masoteric texts. Until I pray, God will do nothing. I know that after this conference, every church represented here, you will be known as a prayer ministry. Every ministry here, every church, even the ones that are yet to start, what will be said of you is that you are extreme in prayer. I said it will be said of you that you are extreme in prayer. Because we have no other power. We have no other power. We don't know who to call. We don't know who to talk to. We don't have some people we have networked with in ministry that will give us platform. We don't know people that we have become their friends, so they will give us doors. We don't have relationships that will help us get there. But we have God. The same God, the same story. When we call on Him, He does what He wants to do. And we are confident. We are confident that when we bend our knees, the will of God comes to pass. So we will not be tired. We will not be weary. No. We align ourselves with what God wants to do in Nigeria, in Africa. What He wants to do demands men of extreme prayer lives. Men of extreme prayer lives who have challenges in their office, yet they ignore that and they are praying about something else. Men who are looking for things in nature, it has not come, yet they are praying about something else. We need men of extreme prayer lives. Men who are going through challenges and are praying about something else. Men who have been tortured somewhere and are praying about something else. Men who have natural needs and are praying about something else. Those are the men and women that God is calling upon tonight, who will bend their knees and pray. We have no other source. I don't know about you. I have no other source. I have nobody to call. When it comes to serving God and working His will, I have no connection I've made anywhere. I tell our pastors, you know what? Let's just pray. When everything has scattered, I just say, you know what? Let us pray. Because at that point, the only thing you can do is pray. There's nothing else. And the only thing we are going to know in this conference is to pray. We won't Google to know what to do. No. We will pray. Because God will do nothing except we pray. And as we pray, the will and purpose of God, play for me, we close, will be unveiled in our minds. I'm speaking to many of us who came from a few states around each other, towards the east of Nigeria and the south. Brethren, you need to pray. You need to pray. Brethren, you need to pray. You need to pray. You need to pray. You need to pray. Brethren, you need to pray. We're about to hit the chariot locations. To pray. To pray. To raise our voices and pray. To lift our voice and pray. I start my ministry here in World Changers Conference. That's why I don't come here to minister. I first come here to be ministered to. And I've been doing that for 20 years. I start my year this way. God's been faithful over the years. He has given me direction. He has strengthened me. Even in the most testy periods of life and ministry, this has been a secret place for me. Raise our voices. Fire will catch fire.
Our boldness is not from our genes. It's from the place of prayer. Our consecration is not because our parents were like that. It's in the place of prayer. Our focus is not strong determination. That will fail us one day. It's the power of prayer. Our consistency is not because we have trained ourselves like that. It's because we know how to pray. This is what God spoke to me before this prayer meeting. He said, prayer would deliver you from the uncertainties and ungodliness of your independent pursuits. Prayer will deliver you from the uncertainties and ungodliness of your independent pursuits. We pray. We pray. Exchanging our will for your will. Exchanging our thoughts for your will. Submitting our heart to your will. As we pray, exchanging our thoughts.